And things are turning for us in the political arena. I said things are turning. It seemed like opposition turned around. They just, hallelujah. But America, you just watch, in a few years, it'll be so strong financially to support this revival that we're in.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God forevermore.
Glory to God.
I don't know about you, I'm already toasted. Been toasted all afternoon. Hallelujah. We were having a Holy Ghost meeting over here at the Wing Place, praise God, today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I hear this in my spirit. This is just the place that we've been looking for. This is just the place we're looking for. We're going to buy it. This is just what we're looking for. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Just the place we're looking for. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we sent out the ministering spirits to go and cause those people to find that place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go and do it. Glory.
Glory.
My. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do it. Praise God. Whew. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do it. Praise God. We're going to do it. Praise God. Glory to God. I believe it's and so this wouldn't relate to a man, but an ovary. I don't know if it's partly damaged or what, but there's an ovary that needs to be repaired. Who is that? Which lady in here that would refer to? I don't know if you can hear me, but an ovary and a woman's productive. Who is that? Hallelujah. Who is that? Now, don't come up after the service and say that was me, but come on up here and get that taken care of. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Many times we have come in our website or whatever you call it and give us messages and says, I was in a meeting call, but I didn't come out. You know, for different reasons. But come on out. Watch the salvation of the Lord and His mercy. Hallelujah. My. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My. The wonderful presence of the Lord. He's so, so wonderful. Hallelujah. glory's in here tonight. I said the glory's in here tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. In the last couple of years, the Lord's been taking me to places, get caught up in the Spirit. Our camp meeting that we had, we just had one night, and the Lord took me to a place. I talked a little bit about it last night about and what he said to me. But just a minute ago, I went to Mongolia. I went to the auditorium where we are going to go in next year. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Things are happening. Things are moving. Angels are involved in this revival. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Well, turn to at least three or four people and said, praise God for the glory. And then when you sit down, get your Bible out. Hallelujah. I'm not done yet. That tonight I want to start out to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1. Glory to God forevermore. Praise God. What I'm going to preach to you, or the Lord's willing, and what he wants to do, is one of the main arms of my ministry, and that's imparting to this generation gifts. God uses men to do that. I was at a meeting, actually, I think it was the last time that Dad Hagin was in Miami. And he got and he was just ministering to people, go out in the audience and ministering to people, and he came down the, and I was sitting in the front row on the edge, and he to one side, there was different sections there. It was a nice sized building. And Dad started down this end, and he was ministering to people, and some he said to ministers, and he was saying, you need to get out of your head. You're not there yet. Well, I'm on the end of the road, and I says, my, I wonder what's in store for me. Even the guy was sitting next to me, a good friend of mine, at that time, he told him that you need to get out of your head. You're too much in your head. Then he come and put his hand on me, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to get it too. And he said something. He said, Brother Ed, you got everything that you need now. You got everything that you need. Well, your mind can go 100 different directions, and well, what's he mean by that? Because we're always growing, you know, we're always going to do it. So I prayed about that for many months, and then the day that I heard that Dad went home, that the same day that he went home to be with the Lord, and I heard it, and I went in the back room of the church, because I asked him, now, Lord, who do you want me to follow? You know, and then he spoke to me about, you know, that I had you follow his footprints, and now he's not making footprints no more in the sand. I remember a picture when I first got saved in a full gospel church, and they took me in the back, and they had a Muriel back there, and Jesus, you know, with footprints, and says, follow me. And he reminded me of that. He said, now you start making footprints. That doesn't mean I'm taking his place, but he said, now you start making footprints in the sand for this next generation. And really, you know, if we're in that generation and all those, you know, during the healing revivals and everything else, we should have got an impartation to carry on, to take it into and give it to the next generation.
Praise God.
Amen. You see, and then he said what he was talking about, what he was saying, you got everything that you needed from him. And he said, many have gotten around him, but they never got what they should have got. Now you think about that. You see, Reverend Joel, see, he got something. Hallelujah, you can tell. You can tell in him and his wife and their Holy Ghost songs and everything else. And you said you got everything you need. See, in 1971, I went to Denver, Colorado, the Hilton Hotel there, and the Lord told me to follow him. He's going to be your main feeder. He said, you will not get into what you need to get into if you don't follow him. See, it wasn't much in worshiping the man, but the impartation of the anointing that he carried. That he carried. And he said, you follow him, and he said, you'll stay on course for what I got called on you. Well, here we are 30 some years later, and he's saying you got everything that you needed from, he didn't say from me, he said you got everything you need now. Hallelujah. And see, I was praying to get to understand, because you can interpret things, you know, in your mind. And I just wanted to make sure that I was getting the right interpretation. Then he said that. And then he said, now you start picking up and making footprints in the sand and impart to this next generation. Amen. Praise God. Now, here's something interesting here in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Now, look at this. For I long to, this jumped out at me at camp meeting, to see you. See, the man of God or the pastor, they have to see you.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not going to get it from on the other side of the TV screen. Well, I'll stay home. They're live streaming it. You don't get it that way. He said you have to see with his own eye. I desire to see you.
That's right. Praise God.
And we used to, Reverend Joel, he got paid to travel because he was on payroll with them. But he got paid for being with him. We paid to get there. And whatever it took, they had the bus, but anyway. But we paid to be in those meetings.
Amen. Amen.
Because we understood the transmission of impartation.
Amen.
Yes,
that's
right. Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
So, you know, and my... where I was at that time spiritually, I did pick up, well, yeah, he has to see me to impart to me. I have to be around that person to get that impartation. Now you can get a partial impartation from tapes, but not like right here what he said, I desire, he has to see you.
That's right.
And it's the same thing with your pastor. If he doesn't see you,
yes, doctor. That's right.
Because you only come once a month. And midweek ain't that important to you, but football's more important. He has to see you. Now, you might like this sermon. You might like parts of it, but you might not like the other part. But it's true all the same. Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
Now help me, get me through this, because I keep, anyway, praise God. I keep almost like I'm ready to leap out of my body. Hallelujah. Did for a little bit there, went over, anyway, praise God forevermore. But my desire is to see you. Hallelujah. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. no sin, no establish. That's a good one right there. No sin, no establishment.
That's right.
No sin. I've never said that before. No sin, no established.
That's right.
No sin, no establish.
That's absolutely right.
Glory be to God. I was with Dr. Summerall many times, and he'd tell me, I said, Dr. Summerall, tell me about the story if you would, if you want to. He said, I want to. He said, I want to tell this story because it had, he said, not too many people ask me about you and Smith Wigglesworth and your relationship. And he was talking about when he would ministering over him, and he talked about the four different revivals that will come on the earth in the last days, and now we're out of the three and we're into the fourth, what he prophesied. That's where we're at. See, another thing about what I read last night about discerning the Lord's body, your part, the body of Christ, discerning the Lord's body, your part, and for this cause many are weak and sickly, and many die premature. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, you see, in having the right discernment, what is the Holy Ghost doing today? That's another lacking. What is he doing today? And to follow that, to find out. You'll stay fresh.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. I've said you'll stay fresh.
Stay fresh. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And then what is the Holy Ghost doing today? Well, he's building strong churches. Why is he doing it in the last, seems like a drought. Why is he, but he's building strong churches where the Holy Ghost will be evident and will be allowed to flow. For God can put the precious fruit of the earth in those churches. Not in the churches where they will not be established in foolishness. Established in your mind, established in your body, but not established in your spirit. That came from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I remember when I went to heaven in 99, and the Lord said, tell the pastors not to be discouraged. That's when he told me about the three kinds of dirt. He said the carnal churches will have three times more than you'll have right now. But there'll be a time when it's time for me to gather the precious fruit of the earth. He said, tell them I'll put them in those churches where the faith's being preached and where the Holy Ghost is rolling.
Hallelujah.
And I believe now we're on the other side of that. I know we're on the upswing. We made it through the drought. You really think about what did this church do during the drought? During the drought, when did you start having your meetings at the hotel? 03, that's when the drought really started happening, and then it hit in 07, the drought in the earth. And look what you guys did with your faith. You started a church in the drought, and then you build a building in the middle of the drought. When everybody else was cutting back, selling their buildings and everything else, but you. Because you was established right. I like that you might be. I like that. Praise God.
That's good. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, the word just comes alive.
Hallelujah.
Well, I asked him about that, and he was telling me how he prophesied over him, and he said, and then tears were coming out of Smith Wigger and dropping down on Dad Summerall's face, and he said his tears and he had me in his bosom, and he said, I see, and if you'll know how Dr. Summerall, he says, what do you see? And that's when he told him. He said, I see this revival. He said, after World War II, I'm going to be gone, but you'll see it. He told Dr. Summer. There was a healing revival. Then there was a charismatic revival. And then there was what we call word of faith. He called it people getting interested in the Bible. And what we did, but their teachers came up, got interested in the word of God.
Yes, sir.
And he said, then the last day of revival is going to be, I mean, it's going to be a blast. Amen. With the Holy Ghost and the move of the Holy Ghost. That's why the devil's fought. Well, we're not going to have Holy Ghost. We're not going to allow that. We're not allowing that in our church. Can you imagine that? Telling the Holy Ghost he's not allowed in his church. In his church. I can't imagine doing the ministry of God without the Holy Ghost. Because we're in the book of Acts. See, we're not finished writing the book of Acts. It's the Acts of the Holy Ghost. But when you say you don't want his Acts in your church, it's going to be the Acts of man. It's going to be the Acts of a businessman. It's going to be marketing and everything else, but not the Acts of the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching real good. Pat me right here. Pat, honey, just pat. No, I want her to pat. That's it. Praise God. Amen. Glory be to God. And he said, I came out of that meeting. And he said, I walked a half a block. And he said, now listen, he stopped. He said, something came in me there. Something got in me there. Pastor Michael Jacobs, I got him on a tour going through Southern California. He's using my airplane, you know, blessing him, letting him go on over. But he said, he keeps texting me every day. He said, something happened in that camp meeting. He kept saying, something happened. I can't explain it. I said, don't try to, just enjoy it.
Amen.
Because we want to figure everything out. He said, something happened to my mind. Something happened. I can't explain it. It was an impartation.
Amen.
And so Dr. Summerall said, I got something in there. Well, he got something from the man of God. He pulled him into his bosom. And see, he used to go over there and let him see him. I'd spend $1,000 being Dad Hagin Men for he could see me.
Yes, Dad, amen.
You know, in the right way, where he could see me, where, praise God.
Praise God, yes, Dad, hallelujah.
Isn't that what, S-E-E, what does that mean?
C.
Yes,
Dad, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He said, Brother Ed, something jumped on me. Something jumped in me.
Thank you, Father.
And he said, whatever. See, he said that what got in me is what carried me all those years that I was established in my ministry. He said, I was in the ministry, but I was flopping around doing this, you know, trying to find the will of God. He said, then something came in me. What did it do? He saw him, and something was established.
Yes.
See, when you're a church tramp, you'll never be established. What I mean, a church champ, you'd go from church to church trying to find the perfect church, and it ain't perfect because you're there, because you're unperfect yourself, like the rest of us.
Amen.
By faith, we're perfect, but we're, you know, hallelujah.
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 I don't know if I'm helping you, but I'm preaching myself. This is a mentoring class. Now, praise God. With that in mind, look at here. I got something here. And you preachers probably give me $1,000 for what it says on here. Amen. This is from John Wesley's commentary on Romans 1:11. The man that, you know, started the Methodist church, and if you'll notice, they have a flame in the front of their church. At one time, they were on fire. But here's an entire version, what he said in his commentary concerning this scripture. He said, that I may impart unto you, means face to face, by the laying on of hands, preaching the gospel. So you can be in a meeting where they're preaching the gospel and getting an impartation. Now look at this. And private conversation. I go out with ministers and sometimes, let me use the main man, Dad Hagin. We'd go out and eat and we push that button and he'll get talking. You know, ask him about the 50s and then get him talking. And then you knew when sitting around that table just by conversation.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Just by conversation.
That's right.
And walk away from lunch and say, boy, I got something.
That's right.
Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
We were over Brother Coulter's house last time we saw him when he was having that up there in Canada when all the electricity went out. So we went out to eat, you know, at Brother Coulter. He was hosting it, so he'd take him out to lunch and he'd invite us. And then at night we went out to dinner. And I started asking him some questions about, you know, one lady asked him about, you know, Dad, when you came to our place, there was a preacher in town that got up and mentioned you by name and said you was a heretic and not to go to those meetings. He said, what'll happen to a guy like that? What'll happen to a guy get up and mention names like that? He said, within a year, he said, he'll become sick and everybody in the congregation will become sick.
Wow.
Well, that's something to think about.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to mention names.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Unless it's a situation where they're causing trouble in your church, then you have to publicly address it. That's a different deal, you know. He said, amen. I mean, that was valuable information. Then I asked him about, you know, the prosperity guys and everything. He had a summit and called them all in and asking about that. I said, did any of those, he said, during the healing revival, did any of them listen to you? He said, nope. And he said, and it happened just exactly what I said would happen. They were building their ministry on a gift and not on the Word of God.
Yes, Dad.
Now, this stuff is so valuable for longevity. Well, I'm getting this information. I'm passing it on to the next generation that we can have longevity.
Hallelujah.
And I said, well, you know, when the guys flew in, Tulsa about the prosperity, I said, did any of them listen to you? He said, not a one. He says, just like that. I said, well, the same thing happened to them that happened to the healing? He said, absolutely. This is sad. This is sad. He dropped his head, and then he looked up. And it put a mock on me. He said, you know, most people don't listen to me, even my own people. Sad to have a caliber of a man like that and get in, I don't care if it's whatever it is, family or whatever, and have that familiarity. You see, you got to different the man and the mantle than the man that is at home. You got to learn that. You got to preach your children that.
That's right.
Grant learned that. He said, well, that's just Dad. You know, that's just Dad. Until you got to Bible school and everybody said, well, what are you talking about? My dad is a prophet. He didn't know. He was always home. He wasn't on the road or anything. And one day he came into my room with tears in his eyes. He said, I didn't know. See, he divided the difference between Daddy yelling at him. Then Dad, when the mantle gets on the anointing, when he says, say it, the Lord. I told you the story about Stephen last night. See, he knows the difference because he knows I get caught up and go to heaven and God tells me about one of my children and then the corrections they got to make.
Yeah.
He made them, man.
Amen.
Praise God.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
See, some of you don't pay attention to your pastor because you just say, well, that's just him saying that. Hallelujah. Amen. I got your printout. I'm saying everything you told me right here.
Good.
Amen. And we, you know, we were driving back to the hotel room, just real quiet and solemn. And I said, "Doll, that's sad." He said, "You know what the sad thing is? That's the same in our church. Most people don't listen to us." Now, I wouldn't marry that person. I wouldn't do that. Thank you. Thank you. And do it.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
See, they don't understand this transmission here. Now look at this again. Let me read that to you. And then here's some spiritual gift. I'm going to read the entire version of what it said in his commentary. And now this is some spiritual gift. John Wesley says this: all those churches which had the presence of any of the apostles had a peculiar advantage in this kind, from the laying on of hands, being around that person by conversation. They had advantage because they were around the apostles. You think about that. We had a man all these years by the name, and not only him, but others, but by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin, that was, in my opinion, the prophet of this land. He's the one that kept Washington. The reason we got in a mess here a while back, don't get mad if you're Democrat or liberal or whatever. The mess was because the church wasn't praying.
That's right.
But now the church is praying and picked it up.
That's right.
And we got in the spirit and changed some things and had some confrontation with some devils to get out of there. Because you got to understand, if the devil can ruin America, when this last day revival, therefore you got to know the plan.
Yeah.
Amen. You can't, you know, you can do somewhat, but you can't go down and hold signs up and change things. Right. It has to be done. It's a spiritual
Amen.
Problem.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pastor Noel will tell you the change in his ministry. Being around that anointing, being around travel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That I may impart to you face to face by the laying of hands, preaching the gospel in private conversations. Well, we knew we got something when he was talking that. I learned that you're not going to get it in the pulpit and mention names. He said it'll come on the pastor and it'll run through the church. And it did. That person said it did. He read how that pastor was hospitalized. These are spiritual things that you learn by being seen and being established by the Spirit of the living God through the Word of God. Remember, this is a mentoring class. Amen. Some people don't want to be mentored. I remember we announced a mentoring and the crowd went down. They want a whippity-doo. All right, here's the entire version of what John Wesley said. With such gifts, the Corinthians, who had enjoyed the presence of St. Paul, abounded, and that's in Corinthians 1:7, 12:1, 14:1. So did the Galatians likewise, Galatians 3:5. And indeed, all those churches which had the presence of any of the apostles had a position, advantage in this kind of anointing and impartation. From the laying on of hands, Acts 19:6, Acts 8:17, and 1:6. But as yet, the Romans were greatly inferior to them in this respect, for which reason the apostle in the 12th chapter also says little, if anything, of their spiritual gifts. He therefore desire to impart some, that they may be established, for by these was the testimony of Christ. Oh.
Hallelujah.
confirmed among them that St. Peter had no more been in Rome than St. Paul at the time when the epistles were wrote. It appears from the general tender thereof, from this particular place in particular, for otherwise, which St. Paul wishes to impart to the Romans, would have been imparted already by St. Peter. End of quote of what Wesley was saying about that impartation. So those men, by their impartations, can change nations.
Amen.
The impartation that Dad Hagin and the Word of God and what he preached changed the church of the living God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you look back, wow, what an honor to be in the present. Now, we're not worshiping a man, we're worshiping the mantle.
That's right.
Another thing being established, I used to say it this way, but I like this word even better, that being in those meetings, God said, your mantle will be nourished. Your mantle will be... Me and my wife have walked out. I said, something went inside of us. We got something in that man. Either through the preaching or either him laying hands or prophesying, whatever, there was an impartation that I might be established.
Amen.
And that's the reason I'm still here and many are not around no more, because I got established.
That's right. Amen.
See, I remember 3 years ago at Reverend Joel will know what I'm talking about, over at Brother Anderson's church over in High Springs, Florida. You've been there, haven't you, to his church. And that's where Morgan came out of that church. And I was up there preaching one night, and out of the side of my eye, I caught, you know, you'd think, you know, I saw somebody over here, but I thought it was an usher standing there. And finally, you know, I saw it again, and I looked, and it was Jesus. You know, I thought it was one of the ushers standing there, but it was Jesus. And I turned like that. The one you can ask my wife, I just turned, and he said, I've come. I've come to impart. It's time now for the apostleship. Apostleship. I never heard it. I heard apostle, but not, I think it's 4 or 5 times in the Bible. Jay Eberle and me and Michael Jacobs, we do all this studying, you know, to keep on track, you know, that we're, you know, saying the right things. I want to be right in my doctrines, don't you? But yet I don't want to back off and be afraid. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. I want to be straight as a string when it's stretched. And he said, put your hands. I put my hands out, and he touched me like that and like that. He says, now, he said, this is the prophecy coming to pass that, he said, Brother Summerall. He told Brother Hagin one time, tell Brother Ed this. So he calls me Brother Ed. He said, Brother Summerall. He didn't say Dr. Summerall. He said Brother Summerall prophesied that he said he saw another gift. And this is what's been developing you. Now tonight you will start on. Well, that was over 3 years ago. And, of course, hell has broke in, had attacked on my integrity, everything that you can think of. Now, listen. See, when you're going into anointing, we've had people come to our church and they say, 6 months later, we've never had any kind of problems like this when we was going to that other church. I said, yeah, you've been getting the Pauline revelation into your spirit, and the devil don't want you to have the Pauline revelation.
That's right.
That's what he's been trying to do with a lot of our faith churches. Don't preach faith. Don't preach the Pauline revelation, because you might offend somebody. Yeah, the devil!
Yeah.
And they'll have to answer to God. I don't have to answer for them. I'm just taking care of my own backyard. I'm doing the best to stay in the will of God and discern what I'm supposed to do. So now in that apostleship, things changed. I mean, all hell broke loose. I mean, we couldn't sell anything if we tried. If I put it to half price, I couldn't sell nothing. Everything came to a stop, finances and everything else. But in the middle of that, God took care of us. And then April 1st, when God said in spring that everything, the wave is going to hit the shore. April 1st, I got an offer on my house. Right now, I got people working on a deal with my other properties. And things are being, when it wasn't even nothing. I could hardly sell a four-wheeler or a bike or something like that. I mean, it was just all around tack. But we didn't lose a thing. Stood our ground, practiced what we preach.
Hallelujah.
Amen. People ask me, what is your biggest thing you have to deal with in the ministry? The devil? I said, no, me.
Oh yeah.
That's the biggest thing that I have to deal with. And what is that? Discerning, keeping myself established, and doing what God told me to do, to keep me straight. When my mind, when I want to retire, I said, you know, I've done this. I've been traveling all these years. You know, in your mind, I have to keep that straight. What's the second thing? Practice what I preach. I've been in big meetings. And a preacher will get up there, and well-known, and get up there, TV ministry, and preach faith, and then go in the back room and hear him talk. I said, just do what you did out there. Do what you preached out there.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
In the in 3.5 years, I had to practice what I preach and stand, do everything. Stand!
Hallelujah.
Just stand with the Word of God. Hallelujah. What? I said, so, apostle is a sent one. That Paul wasn't sent to everybody. Who is he sent to? The what? Gentiles. He was sent to a certain sect of people. I'm sent with anointing to impart and establish in this anointing that's for this era, and to go. And want those, I go where my favor, and those that accept my ministry will get an impartation. Those that don't, they don't get anything.
That's right.
I report, you decide. I had one guy tell another preacher, another pastor, he said, well, we're going to take a couple years off of faith. That's all you do is preach faith around here. Well, no, we don't preach always on faith, but faith is interweaved with everything we do, because nothing will work in the Bible without faith. So you have to establish on faith. Is that good doctrine? Huh? Is that good doctrine? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right here. Just put me in a pad. Thank you. Get somebody to say you're doing all right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's what I'm doing where I go and those that accept me. You're getting established in things right now by showing up in these meetings. Instead of, well, we'll wait until he's going to minister the sick. Then we'll come out. They fill the building up a lot of places. But where were they the rest of the time to get established? And most of them don't get anything. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching. And here's another thing. I am not hooked up with other camps. I'm hooked up with one camp. And that's the camp in 1971 when God said to follow that man. He said, that's it. See, I didn't know that scripture like I know it now. He said, you follow that man and you'll get what you need. Here, 30-some years later, he says, you've gotten everything that you needed from me. And here he went home 8 months later. Don't shut me down because I'm preaching real good. Now, this is the introduction, so don't take this away from my preaching time. Hey.
Glory to God.
Say, we love you, Dr. Dufresne.
We receive you here.
So that means I qualify for an impartation. Hallelujah! But not just from me. A pastor has anointing. A shepherd's a feeder. He imparts. For you'll be established. You know yourself. You've seen people that church tramps, and I think up that name. That was from the sister, you know, from the lady evangelist in the 40s. And Amy Simple McPherson, she said, don't be a church tramp.
That's right.
You know, stay and work and get established. And don't leave this church and go somewhere. Even don't go out of our Bible school and make me ashamed of you because you didn't learn anything.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you at Ephesians? Well, let me give you the chapter. Chapter 4. Hallelujah. Some of this stuff I wish I'd known years ago. And here in the 10th verse of 4, Ephesians 4, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Now look at this. And he gave, or maybe I say he imparted, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for... The what? Perfecting. The what?
Perfecting.
I could say establishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I? Could I use and be still safe and not changing the scriptures?
Yes,
I mean, you as a teacher, amen, in school I'm talking about. Could I use that word the same right there, perfecting or establishing of the saints for what? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what I'm going to do because of the impartation that I got. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Until we all come in the unity of the faith, of course we're not there, and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a what? A perfect man. Unto the measure of stature and the fullness of Christ. It's the will of God for you to be established from your pastor, your feeder, your man of God, your woman of God, and be perfected in Christ.
Amen.
And that's the importance of the local church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at this. The statue of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's a wind of doctrines moving today. There's a wind of doctrines of what the right area of grace and everything else and keeping it right. And now the people are going to, and these that are preaching it, you thought were established. But yet it's the people that are following and leaving their wonderful pastors in their church to watch the ones preach the wind of doctrine in their house. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's happened with a lot of teachers, they're staying in that same wave of teachers. We still have teachers today, but that was the wave, was teachers, teaching of the Word of God, the wave. Now we're in a wave of apostles, prophets, and all the fivefold. But the teacher, they start drying up because the anointing ain't there, so they look for new things, and they'll even call it this a new gospel. I've heard them on TV. This is a new gospel. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same Word of God. And you could tell the ones that are following all them, they never got established.
Never got established.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, your pastor, he lived on a boat when he was running from God. He lived on a boat. And to keep that boat, because the waves and stuff, you have an anchor. You got three little boats. Is it three little boats in your office there, the little models? I was looking at them.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, right. And I said, he's still got that boat stuff in him, I can tell. Anyway, moving right along. But if you don't anchor that, it's going to drift off. And if you're not established by the man of God that God puts with you, we're not here worshiping men. I heard one of those teachers that are teaching grace say, you're not here to be fed. You're here to support me and my wife in this ministry. That's wrong. No, they're there to feed the sheep. Yeah, they should help with the ministry. But saying, you're not here to be fed. You're here to support me and my wife. On TV, I heard it. I called my wife and did I hear that wrong? Thank you. Hallelujah. Best thing to do is you come to your pastor. I heard this. What about that, pastor? You know, your pastor will tell you he's all right. And the reason I know that, because Pastor Michael told me he was all right. I said, that one of your sons asked me to come to his church. Is he all right? He said, yeah, he's all right. Still working on him, but he's all right. Amen. Amen. Now my middling daughter-in-law has got in there. They on Facebook going back and forth. We know everything he does. We know about the rabbit. We know about the skunks. I know everything that's going on in his life.
That's right.
Through my daughter-in-law. I get a report almost daily. You know what Pastor Tim did?
Right. Yep.
So when I come home, I'll say, he didn't get the dog yet, but God's working on him. Shut him out of my socket. Now you're getting a little bit of your harassment that you harass us with. Hallelujah. Now I'm coming up to something, be real good. See, this fits in about discerning your part. And we'll learn more about that with the communion service that we're going to have tomorrow night. Hallelujah. And speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things. Now notice, he put these five ministries in to perfect the saints. Not to tear them up, not to split them, not to pull people away from the body of Christ and pull them to their ministry for they can get supported.
That's right.
Hallelujah. What'll happen? It'll all go, because I've been alive long enough in the body of Christ where I've seen this same thing go through 20 years ago. It crops up and goes through the body of Christ. These are winds of doctrines. Hallelujah. Now notice the 16th, this one. From whom the whole body fit joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. See, you're to be established, for you can bring your supply because you're part of the body of Christ. Church tramps, they don't bring anything to the local church. So really, you're useless. And you won't get God's supply because you won't bring your supply. Every joint, look at here. Isn't that what he's talking about? Establishing? Hallelujah. Perfecting. Establishing. From whom the whole body fit, joined together, compacted by that every joint supplieth. When you don't bring your supply, you're crippling part of this local church for the commission that God's got them the dew. And when you don't bring your supply, look at this, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Measure, see, that measure has to be nurtured. Measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. But it maketh increase. You wonder why people don't have increase, don't have fruit in their life. Because the pastor needs to see them and teach them and establish in there. I don't know if I helped you, but I do.
Wow. Keep going.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Professor, is that right on? Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God forevermore.
Glory to God.
See the sin. There's the sin. The sin. The sin.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I don't know if I should say that, Lord. I need to have the going. It came to me by doing it, but hallelujah. Let me put it this way. Without the local church, you will starve. Your spirit man will starve. You want to know why? Because it's not an invitation. It's a command by God not to forsake the assembly together. Now notice what he said. Because what? I'm not quoting it all right, but because it's going to get darker out there. And this is the safe place. This is the safe house, the body of Christ, wherever you're connected to. And if you're connected to something, you're not getting nourishment, I'd get out of there and get to a place where you can get nourished.
Amen.
That your spirit man will be nourished.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Have you ever seen a horse? Some of you farmers probably know that. And they're eating on a fence. You know, there's a lack of something in their nutrient. Either salt or something like that. And I learned that because my wild horses that I got, Mustangs for a while, they were eating my fences up. And the guy said, we'll put a salt thing in there and this vitamin, that vitamin, and they'll stop eating. Is that right? Something like that. It's pretty close, isn't it? You're a farmer, aren't you? Praise God. And they start trying to get that. They're trying to find that nourishment. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, in closing, that means I'm starting to. I told you I wasn't going to preach long at nights because I want you to be here at every meeting. Go over to 1 Corinthians 11. Now, next week will probably be a little different, but the Lord said 3 nights of mentoring. Tomorrow night, amen. See, now tomorrow night, we're going to lay hands on you. We'll probably have more people than we've had even tonight will come out because they want hands laid on them. But they didn't stay enough to get established.
Come on. Oh, that's good preaching.
Come on.
That's good preaching.
See, I'm glad that I was sat under a man that had the revelation of the local church.
Amen.
Had revelation of the local church. When he'd receive his offering, he said, now, this is not your tithe. See, he had everything correct about the local church. That's why I don't have every traveling minister. I mean, they're good ministries. Some of them have healing ministry. But they're not interested in the local church. They're interested in themselves. Like I had these singers come in and a man and wife team, and they came in and I noticed it was a week long meeting but I noticed the side of his, he's kind of bald a little bit and he was all red. I said, what happened to you? He said, well, every day we've been going out with other preachers and playing golf and playing around and then come at night and play the music. And the Lord said, he's not interested in your congregation and blessing them. See, if you're a traveling minister and they're giving you love offerings and you're working for that person, you should be hooked up in what's going to happen that night. You heard me when I talked about the other night about selling, and I got in trouble because those people, and it was going on in Dad Hagen, man. Made me mad and pissed. They're all out there selling cards. I know you wouldn't have done that, Joel. You wouldn't have done that. And Dad's here carrying the weight of the meeting, and they're out selling and using his vineyard and the church vineyard to sell your junk. That's wrong. And on payroll, you should be hooked up, ready to go, praying in the afternoon, or at least, you know. And I never had them back because God told me not to have them back. Nice people, wonderful people, dress nice, everything else, do everything nice, certain amount of anointing there, praise God. But he said they're not hooked up with your local church. They're here for a paycheck. Oh, man. I got over my girl here. I can get a pat from them. Amen. Praise God. Your turn. Go ahead. Amen. Say, good job, doctor. Thank you. Praise the Lord. See, I'm not mad at people, but why even should I? Somebody that brings a TV crowd in and preach, and oh, we were filled up, and he got a good offering. And I ask him, a few months later, I said, "How's your church doing?" And one guy, man, I said, he said in 1 week he brought in almost $200,000, and he'd call you out and tell you what kind of cigarettes you have. God ain't interested in what kind of cigarettes you got. Some prophet from Africa, probably from a hut, something. And he said, we had big crowds. And I asked him, because I knew of this guy, because God told me to watch him and watch him what happens. What does he establish in that local church when he's there? Well, this guy, either after 6 months, the pastor has a heart attack, or they go through a divorce, or their children's or their youth department broke up and they got into sin and everything else. There's the fruit. They had big crowds because he can call you out and tell you what your address was and what kind of cigarettes you smoke. See? And most of those people just follow them. They don't want to be established. Because in that certain church, I said, what's your parking lot? He said, that's an interesting thing. We found Budweiser beer out there, and we found all the cigarette butts all in our parking lot. Hello, dummy. And I warned him. I warned him. And you know that pastor ended up in a divorce? He almost died of cancer. He's fighting cancer right now. Had a church of 2,000 people. And I told him in the back room, I had others or my witness that I told him. He asked me. Then he got mad what I said. You know, he's thinking, well, he draws bigger crowds than you. Well, who do you do? Who cares? I don't care. I'm not out for crowds. I'm out obeying God. Amen. People want to show up, that's fine. If they don't, that's their business. At least I did what, that's what my wife says. She says, I don't care. She tells the congregation, I don't care if only five of you. I'm called the pastor, and I will pastor you. Amen. Of course, it ain't that way. I mean, you know, we have a full house. Amen. Am I telling the truth? Amen. Why should I have somebody else that's just there for a paycheck and not interested in praying in the afternoon, or at least waiting on God, or even take a nap in the Holy Ghost? But out traveling around and setting up other meetings with people on the go. I'll be quiet. I'm just telling you what God told me.
Amen.
And then complain about what kind of room they had. It's one thing that I have a problem with is a high maintenance preacher. Have you ever been around a high maintenance preacher? High maintenance. I'm a low maintenance preacher with high output. You're being established tonight. Is that good stuff or not?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Glory.
I said, glory be to God. How many showed up for a year and a half at this church down at the hotel? Huh? And that's counting most of your family and.
We started with 20. After a year, we only had about 10 of them. After a year.
But he stayed with it because God told him that.
Amen.
Here I am. If you want to be established, if you don't, that I'm just doing what God told me. And then look what came out of that.
Yeah.
You got, amen.
Amen.
Because they were established in something.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I'll go to that tomorrow night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you're established in the Word and established in a local church, there's nothing that can stand against you when you stand. The last 3 years, I had some of the so-called prophets say, well, he's done. I've heard that. I had that in 82, 83.
Yeah.
They thought I was done because my first wife left. He's done. I had a church of 1,000 people phoning Monday morning when I announced that we was having problems. And I used it as, what if, you know, we were in a car accident, we're all laying out in the street. Would you sit there and judge us, or would you get out there and with Band-Aids and help us?
That's right.
I said, I need your help. I'm
yeah. That's right.
Monday morning. It's amazing. I got a call that afternoon from Tulsa from some of my friends and asking to buy all my TV equipment. I had TV equipment and stuff. And I had to buy my chairs. I'll never forget in my office. I'm not dead! Because I've been established. If you're not established, you'll just go with every wind of doctrine and everything else. God said it. I don't care. That's what my wife said. I heard her say it. She says, I don't care if just five people. I just doing what God told me to do. And by the way, with those five people, we'll pay the mortgage, the rent. Because God established me to be the pastor of this church. See, the city will prove you. The devil will prove you. Your enemies will prove you. They'll put you on Facebook and say all kinds of things. Had somebody the other day get mad because my wife said something, and he actually phoned. I don't know how he had my number, but he did. He used to go to my church. He might have got it that way because I bought cars from him. And he phoned up and was cussing away. And the thought came to me, well, if my church was so bad, why is he watching my live stream?
Come on now.
And he's drunk, and he said, Pastor Nancy and Dr. Frank have ruined my life. He's still watching my live stream, but he's drunk. I know you don't have that problem in New York, but that's what we have in California.
Yeah.
You know, if you stay around and have a corrective heart and let yourself be established, the rewards are so wonderful. There's nothing like having a solid marriage, having solid children. They're not on dope and serving God. Because you got established right. Stand to your feet and let's give him praise. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for helping us, correcting us, nourishing us. The ministers that were nourishing their mantles that are on their lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They must see you to impart. They must see you. So be seen.
Amen.
and grow up. And that's my message for tonight. Pastor, praise God.